Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Suri, how are you?
Morena, Rosetta, pretty good, thanks. Yeah, I feel like mid-sem break is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Can't come soon enough.
Truly.
Oh, cool. We've got an exciting book to talk about today, Endling by Maria River.
Yeah, like a really great caper heist novel. Funny. Yep, and I think that, like, it's kind of hard to describe. It's a book unlike anything I've read before, and both in terms of its plot, but also the way that it plays with form later in the book. And I'm going to try and get through this review without giving any spoilers, because there are some, like, big turning points in here. But Maria River is, like, from Ukraine, but lives in the States, and Endling was quite recently announced as part of, like, the Book of 12, the long list. I really think it deserves a place in the short list, but I'm not a judge, so who knows?
Wow. Shade thrown.
Yeah. Put me on there. But Endling sort of looks at, like, there's, like, four central characters, Yeva, Nastya, Sol, and Pasha, and then a fifth kind of central character, which is a snail. So Yeva she's, like, a biologist, and she's conducting her entire, like, research is about trying to get these endling species of snails to breed. And research is pretty sparse in this field. Like, she talks about how, like, the snails are not like pandas or koalas. They're not cuddly, but they're also not like majestic animals of prey. They're just these kind of like slimy, sad looking, like garden annoyances. So the government has, like, kind of, even though they apparently play quite an important role in the ecosystem, there's just a real lack of funding for this. And so she tries and sort of bungles these mating rituals between these snails and tries to find, like, the right environmental conditions to make them breed. It's like this incredibly unsexy way of trying to get people trying to get snails to reproduce, and also kind of becomes like a mirror of Yeva's life. So she's like beautiful, and people keep telling her that she's got these amazing genetics, you know, this long hair and gorgeous face, and her parents are less than thrilled when she refuses to sort of settle down and get married or have children. So I guess in some ways, like, Yeva herself is also like an endling, the last of, like, her family line, with no expectation to pass down these wonderful genes her mother keeps telling her that she has. But sort of, I guess, like, yeah, it's so interesting how both of these things mirror each other, because in order to fund her research by herself, she decides to, like, join up as part of, like, these romance tours. So, which really rely on, like, these foreign, largely sort of, like, Western American men who come to holiday in Ukraine to partner them up with Ukrainian women to sort of settle down. And it's a booming industry. And it's very,
bizarre.
Really bizarre. And you kind of, I don't know, it kept making me think of, like, some of the really cooked stuff that I'd see on, like, Twitter before I, like, made my account dormant. You know, like, when that right-wing sort of wave started. It's, like, a lot of, like, men who sort of talk about, like, you know, women from,
like, Eastern Europe.
Being, like, maybe, like, beautiful but docile and obedient, and, like, you know, the way that is so gross.
So gross.
And the way she describes, Maria River describes these men in this book, they're all, like, quite sort of sad and, like, you know, greasy. And yeah, like a snake.
Nice one, Millie.
If only they were endlings.
So she kind of, she goes on these romance tours, really really reluctantly, feels like no sense of passion, obviously, towards these men, and is just so fascinated by the mechanics of how this works. So this company that does the romance tours, they like, even though a lot of the Ukrainian women speak English, they have to be partnered with like a translator, which I guess in part is to like ensure their safety more than anything else. And through this work, she encounters Nastya and Sol, who are two other central characters in the book. So she sort of like stumbles upon Nastya, who keeps giving her like weird side glances across from the other end of the room. And then you find out that Nastya and Sol are sisters, and their mother is this kind of great feminist activist and icon in Ukraine, like revered and like really feared by her you know, opponents. And so they infiltrate, and Nastya and Sol are also activists, and they sort of infiltrate this like romance industry with the hopes of like saving women and, you know, enacting their revenge on these like gross Westerners. And they like, so Nastya is kind of like, you know, giving these side glances to Yeva, and Yeva's sort of like, what is going on? Why is this girl obsessed with me? And then one day Nastya breaks the ice and goes, so, you know, is that RV yours? And the RV is where Yeva like is hosting her snail breeding project. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And she kind of goes, yeah, she sort of has to think about what to tell her, and she's like, why are you so interested? And then it sort of comes about that, you know, Nastya reveals that she's got to her RV is the perfect size to like transport people, like very ominous, doesn't like give you much more about like who are these people she's transporting, where are they going.
It's just a really good transporter, Sarah.
An 18-wheeler. So they kind of, she grinds down Yeva, and they, so, and then it turns out that this is like a kidnap plot to transport. So Nastya and Sol's, they want to create this like obviously really big performance, this big spectre, this big thing, this that finally like ends this romance industry, this romance tour, and, you know, frees the women from the clutches of these men. But part of that, part of like the largesse of what they're trying to do, is to like track down their mother, who's been missing and out of contact with everyone. So they think this ploy will kind of like pull her out of the woodwork and back into their lives. And so they go on this like really, yeah, they like grab all these men, one of them who's like Pasha, who you actually genuinely feel a little bit sorry for. Pasha's like Ukrainian born but lives in Vancouver, lives this like miserable life, sort of keeps talking about how all of his friends who like remained in the Ukraine ended up like, you know, having a better quality of life to him, and he's like struggling to make ends meet in Vancouver, struggling to meet anyone that he could possibly fall in love with. And Pasha's one of these men who's like trapped in the vehicle. And so they that's where like part one ends. They're like heading off on this like kind of hilarious, ridiculous caper, this kidnapping attempt. But just as part one ends, the Ukraine war hits.
And
you can tell that it's it happens like during her writing process of this novel. Because there's like I can't speak to exactly what she says, but there's like a breaking of the fourth wall as and it's like really the writer speaking to you in earnest in their voice. It's like,
wow, such tonal shift.
Total shift. And such an interesting like way of I think like playing with autofiction. Like, I've never seen someone in like literally insert their voice in that way and like play with like, you know, this, it's like such a plot driven first part of the book, and then you sort of take this step back in shock, and yeah, it's so interesting. And the war, yeah, the war obviously changes things for Maria in the way that she envisions this book and her, like, daily life and, you know, her family who were still in Ukraine and didn't want to leave, didn't want to give up their homes. And a lot of that sort of passes through, like, the trauma of war, but then also, like, shifts the plot in, like, a really interesting way. And Yeva, who's like snails, are not surviving in the midst of war. She finds like the possibility or like a possible mate for one of her inland snails. Like she's finally cracked. Yeah, so it's like this really interesting, you know, it's like this, it's so disparate, this like, you know, horror, this tragedy, this like kind of hopelessness of what the war brings, what the violence brings, also like how it, you know, really creates like this issue for this like kidnap plot that they have, but then it really throws a spanner in the works, but then also like this kind of optimism of like potentially saving a species in the midst of all this violence. So yeah, it's such a fascinating book, so interesting. And I think for like just off of its uniqueness alone, I think it would be such a good contender for the Booker. But there are 11 other books that I haven't read. So
right,
yeah.
Wow, but it sounds like such a mean story. Like honestly, I was so invested like the whole way through. So
so good.
Sounds like a good read.
Totally. It's like if you're looking for something like it's definitely a lot pacier than I think the last like five or six that I've reviewed, but still just as clever, maintains this sort of like wisdom and intelligence, but also like witty humor. Even listening to them, like women kidnapping men is so funny because like I guess, you know, in like ways that I didn't expect, like, you know, I mean, I guess like there are I imagine like a man just kind of shoving a woman into a van, you know, they're not giving much consideration to these people, but these women are like thinking about like, you know, there's like men who are part of the group who are lactose intolerant, and they're talking about how like allergies like really change the dynamics of this heist. And yeah, it's really good. That's really great. Funny
man, he's dairy free.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, that's hilarious. Gosh, sounds like a great read.
This is Endling by Maria Reva. You can get it on the shelves at Time Out now.
Yes, $38 in store. Great read. Strong
beautiful
recommend.
Cover as well.
Great cover, eh?
Yeah,
cool like cover.
Yeah,
the cloud snail. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Suri.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Time Out. That was Loose Reads.
That was Loose Reads.